So Psalm 7 we're reading from, and it's from verse 1. We're going to read the whole psalm. Yeah. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it, yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honour in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger, lift up yourself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that you have commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass you about. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tries the hearts and reins. Why, defences of God, which saves the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travails with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us this evening. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a little bit in the heading, which we didn't read. And the little bit in the heading, the second line, says, it's by David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. We don't know who Cush the Benjamite was. There was a Cush who was the son of Ham, grandson of Noah. But this is Cush the Benjamite. And I think there might be a little indication or a clue there that this could have been something directed at David from Saul and Saul's household, because Saul, King Saul, was a Benjamite. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. But whoever it was, this person was making life difficult for David. There were threats. There were verbal threats. There was gossip. There were accusations. And in Psalm 58, verses 3 and 4, says this: the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stops her ear. This is a comparison, really, with that which is of the enemy, the old serpent Satan. And this serpent-like attack on David, well, as it says here in Psalm 58, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deaf adder that stops her ear, doesn't move away, ready to bite. This is the enemy lying in the way to assault the people of God. And you know, as the people of God, we can come under assault from the enemy. But we need to realise that in the Lord we're in a secure place. All his accusations will not stand. In Psalm 62, it says this: truly, my soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. That's where we go to. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And that last verse there is the solution, is the answer. The enemy is a liar. The enemy is a liar. Satan is a liar. Yeah. Satan is an accuser. It talks about him in the book of Revelation as the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them day and night before God. And we too may get at the end of some false accusations, satanic in origin, because the enemy is trying to trip up the people of God. We need, like David, to have our confidence in the Lord. If Satan is accusing day and night before God, we need to know the assurance that God will give us and strengthen us. David's trust is in God. David's trust is in God. That's the first line. Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. And there's that wonderful verse in Psalm 46, again, where David is showing that his trust is in God. It's the first couple of verses. It's a wonderful revelation, which I'm sure we're all aware of, and we can take encouragement from it. God is our refuge and strength. When the enemy accuses, when the enemy attacks, and I'm sure all of us sometime or other have come under enemy attack, where we feel these circumstances, these situations, they shouldn't be happening. It's the enemy getting us under attack. But don't worry. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. He's always there for his people. Whether we are aware of it or not, God is there. Therefore, we will not fear. Fear is a great weapon of the enemy. He tries to instill fear into hearts, because where there is fear, there can't be faith. Faith cannot operate from a basis of fear. Therefore, we will not fear, because God is our refuge and strength. Though the earth be removed, we will not fear. The Bible tells us that fear has torment. Fear has torment. That's a work of the enemy. Torment. Don't get trapped. Don't get snared by the enemy. That's the enemy's work. David is crying out in this psalm, from the first verse there, save me from all who persecute me, deliver me, lest you tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces when there's none to deliver. Doesn't that remind you of the enemy? The lion. The Bible tells us in the New Testament the devil is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He won't get you if your faith and trust is in God. Don't fear. Don't panic. That's what he's trying to instill into our hearts and lives. Fear. In the first epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Here it is. Because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. David calls upon God in this time of difficulty, in this time where it seems as though somebody is slandering him, lying about him. And those lies of the enemy would seek to undermine us too. He calls upon God. Lord, my God. And this is what he says in these verses here, verses 3 to 5. This is what he says. Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, If I have rewarded evil to him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. David is so confident he hasn't done these things. He's saying, if I have done them, Lord, let the enemy persecute me and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and my honour in the dust. Then he goes on to call on the Lord to set him free. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that you have commanded. Lord, you be the judge of the situation. Amen. You be the judge of the situation. And if the Lord is the judge of the situation, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tries the hearts and reigns. My defence is of God. He is the one who saves. He is the one who saves the upright in heart. And David knew that before the Lord he was righteous. And the lies of this person, whoever they were, that were trying to undermine him and undermine his faith, they were false. The Bible says here, and David says here, that in verse 11, God judges the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. We're in an area, you see, of warfare and battle. And in that warfare and battle, we have to keep our eyes on the Lord, because the enemy will do what enemies do in battle today. They try to deceive those who are attacking them. They try to deceive them into thinking they're outnumbered, but maybe they're not. Try to deceive them to thinking they've got bigger and better weapons, but they've not. And the enemy will try to deceive us into thinking he's the great accuser, the great enemy, and we can't do anything. Well, we can't, not in ourselves, but we're in the Lord. And David is looking to the Lord, that he is in the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, this person is spreading lies about me. Lord, deal with that situation. They're not true. You know, we're in a battle. There is a warfare going on. A lot of the battle we'll find in our thought life. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it speaks to us about our walk, and it speaks to us about our weapons. It says here in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our trust is in God. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. In other words, when this person is spreading these lies about David, he's not going to get involved in an earthbound battle of wits against him. Where does he go? Instead of arguing with the enemy, instead of trying to justify himself before the enemy, he goes to the Lord. He looks to the Lord. And the Lord knows the situation. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and it brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when we're brought to the obedience of Christ, no accusation of the enemy can stand. Praise the Lord. In verses 12 to 16, it talks about the actions of this enemy. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordains his arrows against his persecutors. And I believe here this is what David is speaking about. If the enemy does not turn, God will whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. God is ready to deal in judgment with those that come against the people of God. He's there to protect us. He's there to deliver us. He's there to set us free. And he, the Lord, has also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordains the arrows against the persecutors. James says in James chapter 1 verse 15, sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So in these verses, if the enemies of God's people continue in their sins against God's people, eventually it will bring upon them death and destruction. God will whet his sword. God has his bow ready. God has prepared the instruments of death and ordained his arrows against those that come against God's people and against him. It says in verse 14, behold, he travails with iniquity and has conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. This is the enemy again. In his stubbornness, he's working against the Lord and against the Lord's people. He's made a pit and digged it. He wants to trap the people of God. He wants to trap David with the lies that he's spreading about him. But you know, the thing about evil is this. Evil reproduces. Evil reproduces. It produces evil. And those that set a trap for God's people will fall into that trap themselves. And this is what David is saying. He made a pit and digged it, and he's fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate, on his own head. If we put our trust and faith in the Lord, we will find that this is what comes to pass. You see, if you look at other areas in the psalm, if you look at chapter 9, just across the page, for me anyway, in verse 15 it says, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid, is their own foot taken. And you find it again and again in Psalm 35, even for Psalm 57. Proverbs 28 verse 10, but it's the same theme all the time, that those that try to entrap the people of God will fall into their own pit, into their own trap that they've laid for themselves. In Proverbs 28 And verse 10, he says, "Whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession." Keep looking to the Lord. He promises you good things. And that last verse, verse 17, having come through this situation where David is bringing to the Lord, somebody's lying and spreading these lies about me. Lord, what can we do about it? And then comes the revelation. Actually, when they lay these traps, when they lay these accusations, they're actually laying a trap for themselves. In the end, they're going to fall into their own destruction. The thankful praise comes here. The thankful praise comes here. "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." The Lord Most High. You won't find that phrase in the Bible very much. You'll find it back in the time of Abraham when he's returning from the victory over those who had attacked Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's Melchizedek waiting, the high priest. There you'll find it. He is the Lord Most High. He is the Lord Most High. And we see this in our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to save us, and saves us, and saves us, and saves us. In the words of that old hymn, "Jesus saves me now, Jesus saves me now, Jesus saves me all the time, Jesus saves me now." And we find this in Philippians chapter 2, in those well-known verses about the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Philippians 2, it says this, and verses 5 onwards, "Let this mind be in you." That's what we need. That's what we need. That's our defence, having the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus, who humbled himself, Jesus who came and lived as a man on earth, Jesus who suffered the awful agony of the cross and trod that pathway of suffering to the cross, he is highly exalted. He is the Lord Most High. For it is God, this same Lord, it is God that is working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For if we find we're coming under attack, if we find that we're coming under attack either from the enemy, or we find that there are people around us that are making life difficult for us, don't be drawn into the battle of words and actions against them. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. He's our defence. He's our refuge. He's our strength. And those who continue in that way of trying to bait and trap the people of God, they'll fall into their own trap in the end. Lord's in control. Let's bless him and praise his wonderful name this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.